Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Jennifer Curtin. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, what an extraordinary and bizarre and unexpected and terrible and inspirational couple of weeks it's been in the land of Aotearoa.
I know. It's like, you know, our global profile has increased in the most incredible way, but for all the wrong reasons, except that our Prime Minister is really standing up for us and doing what most people would say is a marvellous job about looking after us. And the corollary has been that other countries are looking at us and going, why can't we have leaders like that? It's really been quite an outpouring of support for her in the way in which she's approached this, rather than sort of often what we see is sort of chest beating and, you know, lots of words of we will get them and, you know, that sort of thing, whereas this is very much about comforting the victims, their families and the rest of us, really.
At the same time, though, being remarkably reassuring, I think. You know, and, yes. And still, I guess, I feel like we're seeing a much deeper and intense and person than the person that was ended up running the country, you know, not that long ago, winning the election and running the country. But I feel like it's the same person. I feel like she's on message as being, you know, as being as genuine as she can be about stuff and as you know, forward thinking about things as well, which I think has been reflected in the mood of the country as well.
Yeah, and I think the thing is the language that she's using that's authentic and reassuring was the same kind of message she used in her campaign. You know, like, she's always been someone who talked about hope, but also compassion and kindness. This isn't new for this event. But I think what she has shown is sort of a resilience and a steel that you can be kind and compassionate, but it doesn't make you weak as a leader, that there's a strength that comes with this, and that there are messages beyond comfort, which are, we're going to sort this out. We're going to have this Royal Commission. We're going to get rid of, you know, military-style assault weapons, and we're going to sort out how we can control gun ownership moving forward. It's very rational, and they don't know. This is not normally for women who talk about being, you know, like using emotion in politics. It's often too easy to say that there's an irrationality that goes with that. But in this case, you know, she's balancing rationality and reason with empathy and care, and it's really refreshing approach to politics, really.
I think so as well, and out of it all, there being some sort of potential, you know, like I guess an indication of what may come about if we approach it the right way going forward from here as well, which I guess for a lot of us, I guess before this happened, you would have thought, so how do you fix that racism thing? So how do you? But it's like, okay, well, maybe we just have to rethink the way that we approach it. Like the way that she's approached, and I think, to be fair too, a lot of the all the people involved from the government and be it local city councils, be it religious leaders, like I say, across the board, there's been an amazing understanding, I think, of each other, which I think has been, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, lacking in New Zealand recently. You know, it's an exciting feeling to. It's not an exciting way to get here, but it's an exciting place to be at the moment. You know.
Yeah, and I think last Friday, the 1:30 call to prayer, and then the 2-minute silence, and the way in which, you know, many New Zealanders took to their local place where that was going to be broadcast, and stood all together in quiet communion. So you're right, there's a broader leadership than Ardern in this moment, that's coming from a range of places, and that's really hopeful, I think. But I noticed that on the Australians have been less, some in the media there have been less kind to how we're approaching it. Almost in response, the Insiders program had a little clip of Ardern at one of the at one of the schools talking about how to deal with racism and how we might think about dealing with racism in our society. And when that went on Twitter, it's just so many Australians wrote back and sort of went, yes, this is how we need to talk about it. Mm. So her reach is really moving beyond our shores as well.
And I think, and to the opposition's credit as well, I think they've seen the bigger picture and gone, no, now's not the time to start playing the blame game and trying to score points.
No, they haven't here. It's that sort of blame game is happening across the Tasman a little bit now. I do notice that Simon Bridges is talking up National's former project around cyber security.
Yeah, he wants to be careful about that, I think.
Yeah, so that seems to be, like, the opposition is starting to gear up into normal political, oppositional politics around other things. So the closest, I think, is Fair Gum, but we've seen good alliances across the Parliament on the gun reform proposals.
Yeah.
There might be more intervention once we get to the second tranche of the legislative change around the register and so on. But on politics as usual, like the ports of Auckland and cybersecurity and other things, we're starting to see them, get back into the groove of protesting that the government's not doing things right.
Yeah. The proposed gun reform, the gun law reforms, are you surprised how quickly that those decisions were made and how they seem pretty steadfast in what they want to get done?
So it doesn't surprise me. Like, if we look back at what happened in Australia, John Howard was leader for 57 days before Port Arthur happened, and his initiative took, like, to do a gun buyback and to make weapons semi-automatics and automatics illegal took longer, but that was because they were a federal system and they had to get the states to sign up to everything, and the states were being led by conservative governments, and he was from the conservative side of politics, so it was much more complicated for him, but he still got it done within a couple of months. And so the fact that our system is highly centralised, that the government has the numbers, doesn't have to engage with, subnational level governments. And they've split it into two parts. So it's get the military assault rifles off the streets ASAP, and then work out how we're going to do the buyback, how we're going to set up a register or other things like that. So it makes sense, and I think that's what people were looking for. They would have looked like they were procrastinating if they'd taken too long.
Yeah, I think, you need to offer some sort of security. It was quite easy to see how it happened to the scale that it did happen. Because he was able to modify his gun to do that, which is weird that we even had that loophole there. But
yeah.
do you think the international response has been quite like they've been flabbergasted that we did. Look what they did. Look what New Zealand did. They just did it. They just went and did it. Wow.
I know Wikipedia isn't for everyone the perfect source, but when you look at gun control laws around the world, we were actually quite a long way behind. So we did sort of sit down there as having fairly loose regulations around guns. So I think that the wow look at how they've done it is very much partly from the US, because it's so hard for them to get anything done there. But the other part of the wow is look at how quickly she's been able to do it in the face of, in this moment of terribleness. But also just like people are just like fascinated now even more by her. So my email box from journalists in Poland and, the Czech Republic is filling up with email requests to know more about her and how she was able to do this. And so I think
that gets under some people's skin, though. Like closer to home, I guess some people here who just go, it's just turned into a celebrity thing. But it's genuine, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the thing about, if they're the people that were pro John Key, he was equally celebrity-like. He just did his celebrity stuff in different kinds of ways. I think this is partly about the moment and the event, because the event was covered first you know, and this shot, it was the event that shocked the world, and then her response to that event, you know, was what you know, showed the world that things could be done differently. And I think people everywhere in this sort of far right extremism, which is big in Europe, are looking for ways of doing this differently, and so that's probably part of it.
There is there has been a lot of interesting talk between people utilising the opportunity to bring up historical situations in New Zealand or the way that the that you've got refugees or immigrants have said that they've been trying to tell the they've been trying to talk to the authorities here about this for years and years. I think it's what I'm finding really interesting is that what's not working is the divisive stuff. I think we sort of seem to be developing a potentially successful way of talking to each other and getting achieving some sort of results. Because the guy who murdered all those people, he's been called a white supremacist and a horrible, filthy racist for a long enough time to be pushed right into a corner with all the other people that have been called horrible, filthy white supremacist racists. And so that's the group that he was trying to impress, you know what I mean? And I think the divisiveness, I know there's some people who've come out against a few of the Green MPs, which I think is a little bit full on, but people have been, on the whole, really careful about the way that they've been talking about it since the event as well. And so that no one feels like maybe they're getting blamed or is it their fault or something, so that we can continue the conversation as opposed to building another wall or a divide between us.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I do think the other is that perhaps we were in sort of some sleepy coma that somehow New Zealand didn't have widespread, racist views and then a small component of really sort of white supremacist views. I think we thought we were somehow immune. I wouldn't use the term innocent that the media was using, but I think there was a sort of a sense of complacency that we were okay and that it was just a real minority. And I think what this has done is blown it wide open and reminded people that actually racism can happen very easily and everywhere if we're not self-aware and open to sort of like having conversations. So in that sense, there's a lot of work to be done. But it's disappointing that the work of Paul Spoonley and others wasn't recognised as there has been work done that shows that there is this residual, subterranean sort of racism that exists here, and we needed to shine a spotlight on it long time ago.
Just very quickly before you go, just to refer back to what you were talking about, Project Speargum, which is the project that almost was snuck in behind our backs, where we'd have the government listening to or looking at everything that we're looking at on the internet, but then got outed by Edward Snowden, luckily sort of at the last minute, and then John Key said, we're going to drop it anyway. But it's still a matter of spying on New Zealanders. Do you think maybe New Zealanders are going to become a little less paranoid about that and a little less insistent that they don't get spied on? Do you think maybe that we're going to let a few, for the sake of feeling more secure, that we're going to let something like that happen?
I think Paul Buchanan's position on this is really useful, which is that actually we had the technology, we just weren't looking in the right places. So that's his point. We don't need to go back to Speargum, and Speargum's actually old technology now anyway. But I think the Royal Commission here will be really important, so we don't want to preempt that. That will tell us what our agencies were doing and where they were looking, and whether or not more tech is needed, or actually we just need a different strategy in terms of how we use the tech we already have.
And there's eagle over that face of Facebook, isn't it?
Yes, mm-hmm. And they've changed their rules again, right? Like last night or something.
Yeah.
So, social media's got, that's another whole can of worms, really.
Let's talk about that can of worms next time.
Yep.
Thank you, Jennifer. Nice to speak to you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.